I wanted to get through the whole chapter, but we're just going to look at the first five verses. That's a good stopping point, a good setup. Read with me 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Brethren, this is addressed to the brethren. God's word, these epistles, are written to the church. They're written to God's people. They're called brethren. It's a precious term, beloved term. We're brothers in Adam. All men and women are brothers in Adam, but not in Christ. And this is who he's addressing. He just warned us in chapter 2 of deceivers, how they deceive many, and God even sends strong delusion. And the wicked one and false religion, his ministers, their greatest method of deceit is applying the word of God to everyone without exception, especially the promises of God. The promises of God, Scripture says, are in Christ. The love of God, we've pointed out so many times, is in Christ. Romans 8:39. Like the ark, Noah's ark, where was the love of God? There's nothing but wrath and judgment outside the ark. God did not love people outside the ark, but he loved those in the ark. And that's vital, because it's a great deception that's being used today to apply the word of God indiscriminately. Can't do that. I write you a letter, you write me a letter, you address it to whom you write it, and you say all these things. Well, so does the Lord. Brethren, brethren, brethren. Now, it says here in verse 1, finally, brethren, these are my last thing I want to leave with you, he says. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. This may be a play on words, but yet this is throughout the scriptures, that we're to pray for one another. Pray for the brethren, especially. Pray for all men. That's what Paul told young Timothy, didn't he? He said, for God will have all men to be saved. Not that he wants every single person to be saved, but he will have kings and paupers saved. You'll have presidents and poor people say. And so we're to pray for all men. But he says, brethren, pray for us. I know he's speaking of Paul and Silas and Timothy particularly. But we're told to pray for one another. Look at Psalm 122. This is a wonderful psalm. Psalm 122. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for one another. Our brother just prayed for us, our children, all of us. Psalm 122, what a wonderful psalm. Listen to it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet, whose feet? God's people. This is God's house. Who dwells in your house? Your family? Well, that's who dwells in God's house. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. That's the church, New Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city. Who built it? Christ did. it's compact together. It's united. It's joined together. Where the tribes go up. So he has a people out of every kindred, tribe, nation, people. But they're all in God's family, like God's hand. Tribes of the Lord. Why do they go there? To the testimony of Israel. To the word, to the gospel, to give thanks. They come to worship the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are set thrones of judgment. God's word judges us and teaches us. The thrones of the house of David, the sure mercy. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of God's church. They shall prosper that love thee. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace. Here's, so David prayed, peace. Peace within thy wall and prosperity. Spiritual prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake. David said, I'm a companion of them that fear thee. That's who, those are who I spend time with, David said. My brethren. For my brethren, my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, because of this wonderful place that he's given us, to worship the Lord, to hear his word, where he's promised to be with his people, I will seek their good. I'm going to pray for them. Because they will prosper. I love them. Go back to our text. So pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. And he says this at several verses of scripture I'm going to show you, but I'm going to run out of time if I'm not careful. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. He asks, he beseeches the people to especially pray for him and those who preach the gospel. That's who he's primarily speaking of. Pray for us. Why? Why should we pray for the preacher? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. If the Lord speaks through him, he'll speak to us. If the Lord prospers him spiritually, he'll prosper us. If the Lord blesses him with the word, he'll bless us with the word through him. This is the Lord has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So you pray for him, and he'll bless you. They will prosper that do so. That the word of the Lord will have free course, run well. He used that term in another epistles. That the word of the Lord may run well. Where do we want it to run? What course do we want it to take? What course do you want the word being preached this morning to take? You want it to go straight to the heart. Whose heart? Well, not only your own. Now, there's some people in this room whose hearts haven't been broken yet. And what we want, what we desire, what we pray for more than anything is that that word, like an arrow from the quiver, the bow of our God, will go straight to their heart. Pray for us. Because it's not by might, not by my ability. I don't have any. Not by power, not by persuasible words of man's wisdom, but it's by his spirit. Come, O north wind, blow, O south, upon thy garden, and let the spices flow out. May the spirit of God speak through this poor vessel and take one of his arrows. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and may he take one of those arrows. May he take this word, which is as a sword, a two-edged sword, and it must come from his mouth, not just mine, and take that arrow, that sword, and pierce a hard heart, wound and heal, kill and make alive. That's what we pray for. And that the word of the Lord might be glorified, whether anyone believes it or not. And some will. Amen. But God must be glorified. He's worthy, isn't it? That the word of the Lord may be glorified as it is in you. You know, there are times when you hear the word, when God does glorify his word, not the preacher. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of men. When the people heard those poor fishermen speak with power and authority, and people's hearts were broken, and they were brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, from death into life, they took note that this is of God. These fishermen, those who knew Simon and Andrew all their lives growing up, they thought, these boys didn't have that in them. This must be of the Lord. And so God's word is glorified. And at times when you hear the word of God preached in power and gloriously, and you glory in it too, don't you? Pray to that end. Pray that this will be more than a Bible study. Pray that this will be glorious. That we might behold his glory. That's salvation. That God might be glorified. You know, if that is our true desire, if our true heartfelt desire is that God might be glorified, we'll be begging the Lord to speak through the preacher. Glorify your son. That's what Christ did. Christ was a preacher, and he walking along one day and said, Father, glorify thy name. And it thundered. And if you'd ask for the same, might thunder. Lord, might thunder. To some, they said, it was just thunder. To others, they heard God say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Thank glory. Glory. Let the word might have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Don't you want some who have never seen the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to glory with you in the Son of God? Wouldn't that be wonderful if that person sitting beside you or in front of you or behind you has never seen his glory would finally see his glory and after this is over say, wasn't that wonderful? This is how he does it. Pray for us. And verse 2, that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not faith. In Psalm 2, most of you know Psalm 2, some may not. But it says, and this was quoted by the church in Acts 4, and they gloried, they marveled. The church came back and that they were suffering persecution, and the Jews wanted the church to be blotted out. It was after Peter and John were beaten and came back to the church, and they all quoted in their prayer Psalm 2. And it says this, why do the heathen rage? And you know religion is all the rage. And the people imagine a vain thing. Speaking of the Jews, imagine a vain thing. They're still waiting on the Christ to come. He has come. The kings of the earth set themselves. Rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from them. What they wanted then and what they want now is to put the church out of business. They want the church to be gone. All this talk of sovereign God and his Christ, they want this to be gone. These people that proclaim this, they want this to be gone. You know what the next verse says? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. All have not faith. All God's people have faith. There's one Lord, one faith, one Father, one God of all his people, and they all believe the same way. One hope of their calling, one hope, and they all have the same faith. But all men don't have the same faith. And those who don't believe this gospel that I'm preaching this morning, they don't have the faith. They're preaching another Jesus. And there's nothing that most a religion would like better than to put us out of business, to see us fail, to see us fall, to see these doors shut. That's a fact. That's a fact. Nothing some would like more than to see me fall, see me fail. But the Lord is faithful. What's my hope? What's your hope? What's our hope? Well, the Lord is faithful. Look back at our text. It says, the Lord is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you. He'll do it. The Lord is faithful. He shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, Paul was fearful and worried for some, as I am. He cannot be a pastor and cannot be a watchman. He cannot have some discernment and not see that all have not faith. All under the sound of my voice don't believe yet. I hope and pray that all will, but Paul was worried about some. It's not unbelief to worry, but it's love to worry about those who are in unbelief. That's it. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews, go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. All have not faith. And he said, we're confident in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things we command you. And that you have faith and keep his commandments, his word. But all don't. Hebrews, like all of God's word, is full of warnings and promises. Right? Look at it with me. Hebrews 2, verse 1. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Some people have let it slip. This thing of apostasy isn't it all of a sudden, you know, just you let it slip, let it slide until their foot slides in due time. Verse 2, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So we ought to give them more earnest heed. And over in chapter 10, he says, let us exhort one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. The more earnest heed, the older we get and the longer it goes on, the more serious we ought to be. How that this ought to mean more to us than anything or anyone on planet Earth. Because lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. So the older we get, the more serious we ought to be about this, and the less care and concern for this world. And we're leaving this planet. Chapter 3. Holy brethren. See who he's talking to? Hebrews 3. Holy brethren. Verse 6. Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You say, preacher, I thought we were kept by the power of God. I thought we would be faithful because the Lord is faithful. We will. But how do you know we're being kept by the power of God? How do you know the Lord loved Jacob? How do you know? Because Jacob wrestled with the Lord, and the Lord wrestled with him, and Jacob held on and said, I'm not going to let you go. Till you bless me. I'm not going to let go. If you hold fast. If you hold fast, it's because you hold fast. But how do you know someone's being held by the Lord? They're holding on to him for dear life. Right? Look at the next word. And rejoicing. Verse 6. Not only hold the confidence of the faith, hold to the faith, but you rejoice in the gospel. You ever quit rejoicing in the gospel? You never did rejoice in the gospel. Right? If the gospel ceases to be sweet to you, it never was sweet to you. If you grow tired of this light manna, you're not God's people. You're going to be left out of this promised land. So, verse 7, he says in Hebrews 3, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today. What is he talking about? Today. Today is always meant today, hasn't it? Well, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today. Today, if you'll hear his voice. Oh, Lord, speak. Pray with me, would you? Pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for Brother Marvin. Pray for Brother Gabe. Pray for Joe. Pray for us. Why? Today. This might be the last day. Really? Really? Wouldn't that be wonderful for God's people? Huh? Come quickly, Lord, but hold on. All men have not faith. We want them in the ark, don't we? Pray for them. Pray for them. Look at chapter 5 of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 11. It says, we have many things to say unto you, and hard to be uttered, but some are dull of hearing. I worry about those who grow dull of hearing. Very worried. Let us not sleep as do others. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That's what David wrote. We all get sleepy. The apostles got sleepy. And the Lord rebuked them. Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch unto prayer. Pray that you enter not into temptation. We're not there yet. None of us are. I'm not there yet. Paul said, I haven't arrived yet. He said, but this one thing I do, I press. It's a pressing matter. Brethren, pray for us. Look at chapter 6 of Hebrews, verses 4 through 6. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come. That means those who seem to have a great interest in the gospel. If they should fall away, to renew them again. Why? They've crucified the Son of God all over again. It's serious. Brethren, pray for us. Pray that we don't fall away. None of us. Look at Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10, look at verse 38. Hebrews 10, that verse 25 is the one he says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as some do. And verse 26 means if we sin willfully, that means leave the gospel, forsake the living God, and we do it willfully. People do what they want to do. Oh, Lord, don't let me have my will and my way. But chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. If any draw back, and faith is given by the word of God and maintained by the word of God. Faith is maintained by the word of God. When Paul one time said, keep yourselves in the love of God, what does he mean? Keep God loving you. No, God loves his people. Forever. But the only way you know God loves you is under the sound of the gospel. You get out from under it. He may not love you. If you can stay out from under it, he didn't love you. So he says, the just shall live by faith, walk by faith, be maintained by faith, kept by the power of God through faith. To the last time. But if any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. But, look at it. Look, verse 39. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Paul just said that. He said, I have confidence in the Lord touching you. Not everybody, but most. And he was sure thankful. And remember, he gave all the glory in chapter 2, verse 13 to God. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because it's God that chose you to salvation through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth. It keeps you. He's the one that's going to keep you. We can't keep ourselves. And yet, if we're kept, God gets all the glory, doesn't he? If we fall away, we get all the blame. We can't say, well, God didn't keep. God's sovereign and it wasn't his will. That's fatalism. Oh, no. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. And faith is maintained right here. Right here. How do you know somebody believes? They're going to be believing tomorrow. They're going to die in the faith. They're going to keep believing. They're going to keep hungry and thirsting and sign of life. They fall away. My soul has no pleasure in them, God said. Look at chapter 13 of Hebrews. As said, this whole book is full of warnings and promises. Warnings and promises. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. We're kept by God's love, aren't we? Well, let's keep loving one another, shall we? Shall we? Otherwise, we'll have a falling out. Verse 7, he's talking about praying for the preacher. Remember them which have the rule over you. That's talking about prayer. Remember them in prayer. Pray for them who've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end, the purpose, the goal of their conversation, their preaching. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why did he say that right after that? Because he's the same. He sent out preachers. He left, didn't he? He went back to glory. And right now, a man is in glory. Jesus Christ, the same man. This same Jesus, so come. But he didn't leave himself without a witness. He sent, when he was here, he sent not only 12 apostles, but 70 more out there. My sheep. He said, I've got sheep that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. How does he bring them? Through the preaching of the gospel. And he sends out these gospel preachers. He's the same. So remember them in prayer. If he gathers you, if he gathers your children, he's going to do it through the preaching of the gospel. Remember them. Go down to verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourself. They watch for your soul. They must give an account. Oh, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. That's unprofitable for you. Pray for us. Now go back to our text. You see that? Pray for us. Obey them. Now look at this. Verse 4 in our text. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. That you will do the things which we command you. Are there no gospel command? Is there nothing for a believer to do? Oh my. Oh my. Oh, do not be deceived. He that's just a hearer only and not a doer. Our Lord said, if you know these things, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you do them. Our Lord said, he that loveth me keepeth my commandment. Did the Lord tell us anything to do? Oh my. The whole Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's not to be saved. Oh, by the deeds of the law, none will be saved. By the works of the flesh, nobody will be saved. We're not saved by doing. We're saved by Christ doing. But salvation is unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. We're not saved because we do good works, but we're saved that we might do good works. That's why he saved it. Like Onesimus. You remember the story of Onesimus, that runaway slave? Thief and a robber and ungrateful and went out like a prodigal into the world, stole from his loving master. And Paul wrote, who's a picture of Christ in that Philemon. He wrote to Philemon. He said, he was before unprofitable to you, but now he's profitable. He was worth nothing. He was worthless. He was no good for anybody. Certainly not God's glory. No good to anybody around him. He's sure no good for himself, but God. It's made him worth something. He was no good before. Now he does some good. That's what he's saying in our text, verse 4. We're confident you'll do the things which we command you. Our Lord said at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, he said this. Now listen to this. This is what he said. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. A wise man. But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is a fool. He's a fool. And so I say to us what Paul said. And what, remember one time Mary said to his disciples, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. So he said, I'm confident. And Philippians 2:13 says, it is God which worketh in us both to will and what? Do of his good pleasure. God's people are made willing. All right, verse 5, let's close. It says, may the Lord, and here's a brief prayer in this. He asks them to, urges them to pray for him, and here's his prayer for them. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting of the Lord. Here's what he said to the Ephesians. He said, oh, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love. Love to him. If you love him, if he loves you, you're not going to fall away. If you love him, you're not going to want to fall away. You're not going to want to let. If you love him, if he loves you, you're going to love the brethren. If you love him, you want to love the brethren, them to love you. Verse 18, in Ephesians. He said that you might be able to comprehend with all the same the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what he prayed, that you might be directed into the love of God, that your hearts might be filled with praise and thanksgiving and gratitude and amazement and wonder that God should love you. Because if you do, if you keep that thought in mind, you will love your brethren. You will. May he direct you into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Isn't that how he started on it? Isn't that what this is all about? Huh? Didn't he start by saying, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, which necessitates him loving us to the end that we might be gathered. Which necessitates us loving one another to the end, because we're going to be gathered together forever. We need to love one another now. We're going to spend a long time together. May the Lord direct our hearts. It's out of the heart are the issues of life. Head, love's not from the head, it's in the heart. Into the love of God. Love for him, love for his truth, love for his word, love for his people, love for his kingdom, love for his glory, and the patient waiting of Christ. Wait, I say, wait. He's near. Just wait. He's coming. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was today? Today. Okay.